We continue our teaching about the tabernacle of the book of Exodus. And remember that in our previous lesson, we learned that God meant for the building of his dwelling place, the tabernacle, to be built according to exacting requirements. You know, I've been in the building business most of my life as a civil engineer. And we design buildings and roads and dams and water systems, sewer systems, to exacting requirements, but we always seem to have change orders. Contractors love change orders, don't you, Jeff? Chris, they love change orders. Change orders, somehow they always kind of cost more than the original project. But God's specifications and plans for where he was to dwell were tight, and changes were not to be made. God made it right the first time. You know, that's the key to success, is do it right the first time. Don't say, well, if it doesn't work out, I'll do this and I'll correct this, but do it right the first time. Now, we have learned that those exacting requirements were that it was to be built by a freely giving people, a people who were not coerced into giving, but a people who wanted to give from a heart, who wished God's house be built to please him. You know, that's the kind of church we ought to have. Does our church please God? Does he look down upon Grace Bible Church and Grace Bible Sunday School, and is he pleased? Because he also has given exacting requirements for the body of Christ. But this house was to be built by a people stirred up, a people excited about God's house, a people who wanted to be involved, and a people who had a willing heart, a heart that cared about God's will. You know, the pastor was telling me about a church. You'd know it if I described it. But apparently they have four people coming to that church. What happened? It's a big church, isn't it? A big building. So there must have been a lot more people in that church in the past, but now there's four people in that church. Or perhaps they built it hoping that there would be eight people. I don't know. But why was that? What happened there? I don't know, but we want our church to be pleasing to God. We want to be a people stirred up, a people who have a willing heart, a people who care about God's will. Now, God's house was not to be built by using the wisdom of this world, but it was to be built by using the wisdom of God. It was to be built in accordance with God's word and under the guiding hand of the Spirit of God. It was to be a house different, far different than anything that came from the world, for God was its designer. Now think about this as God builds this church body. Did you know, according to the word of God, that this church is to be composed of peculiar people? Isn't that strange? I mean, you look around and you say, well, that person's peculiar. And you say, isn't that wonderful? I'm peculiar. That's what God intends for us, to be a peculiar people. Have you ever thought of yourself as peculiar, or do you only think of others as peculiar? We're kind of normal.
We're the standard by which all others are judged, and we look around and see peculiar people. But this is what God desires for his people. It was God's desire in the Old Testament, and it is God's desire in the New Testament. If you read the Old Testament, God expressed this in Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, a peculiar treasure. Now, God didn't forget about this desire when it came to the New Testament, for he expressed this in 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. And then in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. This tells us something about the church, what the church is. Now, the modern primary meaning of peculiar, and I kind of inferred it in my introduction to this subject, the primary modern meaning of this word is strange or odd or queer or quirky. Boy, that person's quirky. You ever heard that? Have you ever heard it referred to you? Now, perhaps you are peculiar by this definition, or at least you know someone who fits this definition. We all do. It's kind of strange. It's kind of quirky. Kind of odd. But this is not what God means when he refers to you as peculiar. His peculiar means appropriate. That which belongs to him only. You know, God's jealous of you. God's jealous of his people. He doesn't want you to belong to anyone else. He doesn't want to have Satan in your life, where you share your life with others that want to take over your life, but he is jealous. So peculiar in this sense, it means singular. It means special. God looks upon the church as a special people, a set-apart people. So Titus 2:14 in the Amplified Bible reads this way, who gave himself on our behalf that he might redeem us, purchase our freedom because we were enslaved in sin. And he came along and purchased our freedom from all iniquity and purify for himself a people to be peculiarly his own, people who are eager and enthusiastic about living a life that is good and filled with beneficial deeds. That's what you are. That's what God intends for you to be in the body of Christ. Someone that is eager and enthusiastic about living a life that is good and filled with beneficial deeds. Now, this is the kind of spirit that our teachers should have every day when they enter the classroom. How do you maintain that? Well, you maintain that by walking close to the Lord Jesus every day. He walks in there with you. You're eager. You're enthusiastic. You want to live a life that's good and filled with beneficial deeds, zealous of good works. Now, don't you agree that the church ought to be special? Don't you agree that it ought to be a body of believers that stand out from the world, built differently from the world, built to God's pattern? And that is what is emphasized in the building of the tabernacle, for God's exacting requirement necessary for the building of the sanctuary of the Lord is that it be built by the divine pattern. Now, the writer of Hebrews 8:5 reminds us of God's exact requirement, for it brings to our mind the earthly priest who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, boy, when God says that to you, now see here, do this. Oh, yes, sir. I'll do that. I mean, that puts the fear and the courage in your backbone. And Moses heard this from God, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. You see, God gave Moses a vision of what he desired to be built. Moses had that in his mind. And he was obligated to fulfill God's word and God's will by following that pattern. Now, a study of Exodus 39 and 40 reveals that 17 times we are told that Moses built the tabernacle as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, Pastor, this applies to you with regard to this church. You have a responsibility to build this church as the Lord commanded. You sense that, don't you? The pastor senses that. He has a responsibility to build this church as the Lord commands. In addition, at least 7 times in other places, he is told to make all things according to God's pattern. Nothing was to be left to the imagination of men. Everything was to be made according to God's pattern, for God will only bless and seal that which is done according to the standard of His Word. Now, what is the lesson for us here at Grace Bible Church? It is that the church must also be built according to the pattern of God that is revealed in His Word. How do we do that? Do we just guess at it? Do we just surmise at it? Do we hope for the best? No, God hasn't given us confusion here. God hasn't said, let your minds go. Just do what you feel best. No, He's told us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're to study the word of truth. We're to rightly divide the word of truth. How does this piece fit over here? How does this piece fit with this? Where does this apply? How does this apply to us? How did it apply to those in the past? Now, that takes study. That doesn't come easy. And the same thing applies to the church body. We as elders in the church, we have pastors in the church, we have leaders in the church that are to study. They have a responsibility to know God's pattern. We are not to think on our own when it comes to what the purpose is of the church, for we are to study God's word to see that purpose and how to accomplish that purpose. As children of God, we are to be careful in following God's pattern as we help build His house. The church is not to be what man decides it to be, but what God has decided it to be. God has so carefully given us instruction in the New Testament by calling the church the body of Christ. What a wonderful description of what the church is. For he gives us a picture of the church by having us think about our body. Boy, that's pretty personal, isn't it? We don't have to look over the fence. We don't have to look in foreign countries. All we have to do is look at our bodies. Now, all of us have the same basic parts. We come pretty well packaged the same. Now, we do have genders, of course, but other than that, we pretty much come packaged the same. Everybody here have a heart? Some of the students say, that teacher has no heart. Well, you just say, you know, put your ear right here. You'll hear it beating. But you all have hearts. We all have arms and legs and heads and torsos and livers and kidneys. Basic parts. We all function the same, but in that sameness, God has brought in amazing diversity. You know, it's wonderful to look out here and see different faces. Different noses, different eyes. Big. Some have big ears, some have little ears, some have no hair, some have lots of hair. Some are just kind of in between. Diversity. You all have different personalities. How'd you like to have a robotic personality? Everybody has the same personality. No good. We function the same, but we all have a different personality. But God's people are to gather around his word as they function as the body of Christ. Now, who is the head of this body but Christ? When the arm or the leg attempts to be the head, everything is distorted and grotesque. You know that? If my arm starts to operate without the instructions of the head, you don't know what it's going to do, do you? This arm has to do everything the head tells it to do. But when the head loses control of the arm, boy, the arm, you know, some poor folks have that. Some poor folks have diseases that just, you know, they don't have any control. The head has lost control. Now that's grotesque. We don't like to look at it. We don't like to see it. But a church where Christ is standing outside the door and knocking is distorted and grotesque. An arm or a leg that does not follow the instructions of the head is simply crippled. That's what that church is. It's crippled without the head, who is Christ. And that is where we find many of the churches of today, for they attempt to build the church outside the pattern of God's word. They don't build it by the wisdom of God. They build it by the wisdom of the world. They say, what works in the world? Bring it in. Oh, this will attract a crowd. Bring it in. Not the wisdom of the book. It's the wisdom of the world. As arms and legs and feet and toes of the body of Christ, we are to follow the exacting pattern that God has established for the church. And we can only do this by studying the plans that God has given to us in his word. Now, this was emphasized so clearly in the building of the tabernacle. For God will only dwell in that which meets his exacting requirements. Doesn't it say in the New Testament that all these things are a shadow of that which is to come? God was showing us his exact requirements for that which is to be where he dwells. Well, that applies to us in the body of Christ. does it not? So if we expect our church to be in obedience to God, we are to be a people who freely give, a people stirred up about the building of God's house, a people made willing, a people who build in the wisdom of God and in the Spirit of God, and without deviation, building the house of God by the divine pattern that is given to us in God's Word. And so it was with the tabernacle. For God chose two men as its principal builders. Two men who were obedient to His exacting requirements. How'd you like to have that responsibility? God taps you on the shoulder and says, I want you to build my house. Well, all pastors have that responsibility. All shepherds, under shepherds, have that responsibility. I want you to build my house. The first man was Bezaleel. He was a skilled workman, we're told, filled with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. God knew his man. As a man filled with the Spirit of God, he had a vision of God's plan in his heart. You know, I think about that church with four folks. The Bible says that without a vision, the people perish. Boy, the pastor has to have a vision. The shepherd has to have a vision if we're going to do what God wants us to do. But Bezaleel was a skilled workman, filled with the Spirit of God. His very name proclaims that the hand of God was upon his life. God says of Bezaleel in Exodus 31:2, see, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Now, there was no mistake in who God was calling. He just didn't say Bezaleel, but he said who his father was, who his grandfather was, and of what tribe he was from. This is their address, you see. They had addresses in those days, and this was the address. The mailman knew where it was. Now, Bezaleel means in the shadow of God, or God is my protection. God is my protection. The name Uri means light or splendor. The name Hur means noble or free. As the builder of God's tabernacle, we can see that Bezaleel, in making a dwelling place for God, worked in the same manner that God's Spirit works in men today. He's a type of the Holy Spirit. For Bezaleel typifies the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us to light, to bring us to splendor, to bring us under the shadow of God's protection, and to make our lives noble and free. That's part of that peculiar people that we are. You know, outside folks that look upon this church ought to see people that are walking in the light, that know that the Lord's protection is always there, who live noble and free lives. Now, the other man involved in the building of the tabernacle was Aholiab. Exodus 31:6 introduces this man to us. And I, behold, I have given with him, this is the second man, Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, follows that same pattern. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Now Aholiab was a skilled man who was filled with wisdom and was the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. His name means tabernacle or tent of my father, reminding us that Jesus was the tabernacle or temple of his father. For in John 1:14 we are told, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, that glory that we beheld in Jesus Christ was pictured in the glory that was seen in the tabernacle of old when God dwelt there. Oh, the glory filled the tabernacle, we're told. Now, Jesus is the one who builds the tabernacle, which is the church for his Father. The church becomes a habitation of God by the Spirit of God. See how all this of the Old Testament reveals to us what takes place in the New Testament. The church becomes God's habitation. Ephesians 2:20 through 22, referring to the church, Paul tells us this, and are built, the church, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The shadow of things to come. It was to reveal the ultimate aim of God. So God dwells only in a prepared house, a house prepared according to divine architecture. What a unique thing that is. His Spirit constructs his house only on the foundation of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is pictured in the building of the tabernacle, where God brought forth his plans, which were faithfully carried out by Moses, Bezalel, and Aholiab, who only built to the divine pattern. Now, the revelation of the tabernacle to Moses is recorded in Exodus 25 through 31. Now, this section of Scripture provides exact details that God required in the building of his dwelling place. This is the first introduction to us of the details of the tabernacle. And in this passage, Exodus 25 through 31, God tells Moses what offerings and materials are to be brought for the building of the Ark of the Covenant. First thing he said was, its covering was called the mercy seat. The Ark of the Covenant was first. The covering was called the mercy seat. The details included the table of showbread, the golden lampstand, and what kind of oil to use therein. See the details that were required. The curtains, the boards, the bars, the sockets, the veil, the tabernacle door, the brazen altar, the court, the pillars, the sockets, the pins and cords, the priest's garments and how they were to be consecrated, the golden altar of incense, the atonement money, the brazen laver, the anointing oil, and the incense are described in that passage. Now, if I was given the job to draw up the plans, this is my outline. I would have a main plan with the overall project, and then I would start the details. I would have maybe an overall drawing of the item and then the details over here. But God gave the details to Moses, And Moses passed them along to these two gentlemen who were instructed to follow them to the letter. These were tight, for God demanded that that place where he dwelt was built according to his specifications. Think of that in your own life. You know, God is building you in accordance with his specifications. And those specifications are in his word. Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this introduction to him in the tabernacle. We see him in the tabernacle. We see God's plan for him in the tabernacle. We see God's plan for us in this structure. And we pray, Father, as we continue this study, that we'll see that more and more, and love him more and more, and follow his word more and more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.